You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer, who didn't interrupt me in...
Because I did the intro this time.
Unlike
that's true, but I'm practicing. I'm listening to you do the intro and thinking, how hard is that? I need if you just would send me a script.
I think I'd be in a much better place. Multiple times, I think on our chat, on our texting history, you'll see it there multiple times.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I always forget. I'm very slow. My parents dropped me a lot as a child, and I can't remember things sometimes.
Yeah, you're like the opposite of slow.
No, it's all right. It's all good. All right. It's all good. I do forget, though. Have you not noticed that I forget things a lot?
But you actually have a pretty astounding memory. So you might, maybe it's your short-term memory.
Yes.
That has an issue, but you do.
I'm like Dory. I'm like Dory from Finding Dory. What are we doing here? Who is this?
But there are certain things like historical, like a few episodes ago, we were talking about social media and you were like going way back into history.
Yeah, that's true.
You were very professorial in that one.
Well, I am a professor. Some people might actually expect a little professorial from a professor. By the way, we've never actually talked about this. You know, since you talk all the time about newchurches.com, you know, if you're a church planter and you want to come study with me and with us at Wheaton College, we have the Master's in Missional Church Movements, which is our church planting degree. Come on, you should come teach with us. We could have a great time. But we have a Master's in Missional Church Movements that you can take. So just let us know if you ever have any interest. We'd love to get you. Go to email BGC, Billy Graham Center at wheaton.edu, and we'll get you information on our graduate degrees. I think we've had, what is this episode? Like 9,000 or something? How many episodes have we had?
This is 265.
I have never mentioned this thus far until this moment, 265.
Hey man, I am happy for you to mention it. It's a great program, a great school, and any way that we can help our listeners get more theological education and be more equipped for ministry, I'm 100% for
it. And in missional church movements. And we have Alan Hirsch who teaches in our program. We have Neil Cole who teaches in our program. I have the program. Anyway, that's all I want to say. I'm done. My work here is done.
I don't know about those other guys, but if Ed Stetzer teaches in that program, I think we should all do it.
We should all go. We should all stay home.
Neil who?
Neil who?
Alan who?
Exactly. Exactly. No. Listen, don't say that about Neil Cole and Alan Hirsch.
No, good people. I'm joking. They're great. All right. Well, today we have a texted in question. We've been doing several of these. Typically, we have a voicemail that gets sent in. And if you haven't yet done so, go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. If you're on your mobile device, or go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. And we'd love to answer any question on church planting, multi-site, multiplication, leadership, or discipleship. But today's texted in question is a discipleship one. So Ed, why don't you read it for us and we'll get into it.
I would be happy to, because it kind of gets to some of the issues we're talking about. It talks some here specifically, how can you disciple your church out of consumerism and into serving so that people serve with joy rather than have obligations? So I'm going to go to you first. And tell me what you think. How do you disciple your church out of consumerism and into serving so that people serve with joy rather than out of obligation?
And I've been thinking about this a lot with my book, No Silver Bullets. It's a book all about discipleship and helping you take the small shifts to really develop that discipleship pathway and that culture in your church. So recently, as I've been teaching and preparing and talking about this, there's this whole idea of echo chambers and consumerism that I've talked about a lot. And you know, we'll probably link to the article I wrote on that. But think about it, right? I mean, echo chambers, it's just been a hot topic. And if you're not familiar with the term echo chambers, just think of going on Facebook or going online and you're only seeing things that you like or you agree with rather than, you know, other things. And Facebook's algorithm and the way it works online is just they kind of do that. They kind of bring you and bring you into this echo chamber. Now, the reason I share that is because every single person in our church is getting used to this idea of tailored marketing, this idea of really focused niche marketing where the message is specifically to them. So if we have these general messages in our church to say, hey, everyone who is a disciple should do this, then what's happening because of our culture and the way that we're being conditioned, most people will tune that out because they're like, if that's for everyone, it's not for me. Right. So
yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So in light of that, if we really want to engage our congregation specifically into serving and helping them know, it's like, hey, Jesus served, you know, Jesus didn't come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. How do you engage specific groups and call people into serving opportunities for specific events and outreaches rather than just saying, hey, if you're not serving, you better serve. Because yeah. then it's you know, so it's not necessarily saying, hey, you gotta just tell everyone, hey, if you don't want to be consumeristic, then you have to serve. But it's more of how do you understand and operate in light of the fact that we are marketed this way and we've been conditioned this way, but then call them specifically to serve in particular opportunities.
Yeah, and I think the thing we ought to remember is that in a world that's balkanizing, you know, it's a term from history, but the idea of these countries sort of broke up and separated from themselves in the Balkans. In a world that's balkanizing, what does it look like to have a universal mission? So in other words, Jesus in John 20:21 says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. He's saying that to all the disciples in the room, all the disciples throughout history, and all the disciples listening today, and all the disciples in the churches that they pastor. So what do you do is this, and this becomes a beautiful picture of what the church is supposed to be, right? Mm. So the balkanized world becomes brought together in Christ and becomes new citizens, right? We know that Colossians 1:11 says he has transferred us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. And then his son sends us on mission. And so then the end result is we are sent on mission by Jesus together into the world. So all the examples we see, I mean, think about this, even the New Testament, rich and poor together, not without challenges. Think of the Epistle of James. They talk about some of the challenges, or 1 Corinthians 11. They talk about some of the challenges, but this is the big deal. This is the Ephesians chapter 2, the great mystery is all these different kinds of people, balkanized today, but ethnically different then, that all these balkanized people come together. Now, one new community, the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God on mission. So then they're not driven by consumerism, where the church is a distributor of those religious goods and services, but now they're instead driven by their new life in Christ, right? So, and they live out the gospel's implications, and so then they serve with joy. So think of 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a special gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So what that looks like is people serving out of joy because of who they are, leaving the balkanized settings for where they come. And think about, Daniel, I mean, think about this. I mean, we watch, you know, there are a whole group of people who watch HGTV. I don't even understand these people. And they watch HGTV. I'm a news junkie. But then if you're a news junkie, which balkanized news source do you listen to?
Yeah.
I mean, if I flip between—
That's the echo chamber there, right?
Exactly. If I flip between MSNBC and CNN and Fox News, it's like three different worlds.
Yeah.
And so, but from those worlds comes one people of God. Now you got to disciple some of the stuff that we need to get out of our lives because of those balkanized contexts. But so that, and that's to me, so my hope is that we disciple them out of consumerism by getting them out of the echo chamber, by getting them out of the, it's just for me and my group, my HGTV watching people. And instead now I'm serving people. I mean, I'm serving the poor. I'm serving alongside the poor. I'm serving the rich. I'm serving alongside the rich. And so the church, particularly when it's multi-ethnic, I mean, it just breaks all these balkanized barriers down, and we serve one another because Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you.
Yeah, so there are definitely these external worldviews, and I mean, it really is this culture that we're, this consumeristic culture that we live in, right? This capitalist consumeristic culture that we are a part of here. But I mean, think about it from another way, and I think there are different ways that we need to address this and disciple our church so they're not serving out of obligation, but rather with joy, right? So I love this analogy of giving and taking. Now, if you're in your congregation and everyone comes to take the worship and take the message and take the community, then when you come with this posture to take, then someone else leaves empty, But if you instead come with the posture to give, where instead of taking worship, you're giving worship, instead of, you know, taking the message, you're giving your attention, you're giving your energy, your focus, and in terms of community, you're giving rather than taking, then what happens is, even though you're giving and you actually leave filled and everyone else leaves filled when it's this posture. And I find that anytime I communicate that or share that, or it really seems like a light bulb goes on in our church and in those that I disciple, because it's like, hey, it really is a little bit of a mind shift to say, okay, how can I approach this relationship not with the posture of taking something from them or what can I get out of it, but what can I instead give to it?
Yeah, I love that. And I love the there's a phrase, I don't even know who came up with it, but I've heard it from different people, as we become a people of the towel, which sounds like a strange phrase.
Good. Yeah.
But the idea is that we would take up the towel rather than the torch, for example. You know, the torch, we track down our enemies and more.
Sounds but
you
like think a good about Baptist this, sermon.
It does sound like that, doesn't it? Sorry. Well, it is what it is. It's who I am.
Yeah.
But by becoming a people of towel, we look at how Jesus functioned, right? And he did the work of slaves. He would wash, and no expectation, right? He would wash the feet of those without asking. I mean, to the point where they said, no, don't do that. And what I would say is if we're going to be like Jesus, right? Remember that John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. We're going to teach people to be people of the towel rather than people of the torch, or, you know, 100 things that could begin with a T if you want to follow that theme.
Yeah.
But the idea here is it's a beautiful picture, and we can learn from what Jesus did and how Jesus acted. So, but again, this is the discipleship process, right? People,
yeah, it is.
People are far more likely historically to pick up a torch and a pitchfork, you know, than a towel and a basin. And if we could teach people and disciple people to think that way, even in the midst, I mean, think about how crazy things are today, Daniel. I mean, yeah. The whole world, it's not just the U.S. People listen to us all around the world, but this rising anger, this rising nationalism, this rising whatever, in the midst of all this, we need a people of God in the kingdom of God who have a different loyalty because they're followers of God, and that's for them to be people of the towel and the basin, not the torch and the pitchfork. And I think ultimately that changes just the whole way people think.
Yeah, I love that. There's another pastor friend that I had that he said, hey, when you serve, because Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, that's actually one of the best ways to become like Christ, because that's what he came on earth to do.
Oh, I like that.
So when you're serving in your church, when you're serving your community, when you're serving one another, it's just, I mean, you're living the life that Christ came to live. And I mean, what better way to live our lives than to live as Christ lived, right?
No, I think it's a good word. And the idea that serving itself is a disciple-making activity, I think is really key. As we serve, we become more like the one who modeled service for us, and we become people of the towel.
Yeah. Yeah. Discipleship is not just about doing a study, right? It includes that, but it also includes serving. And as you said, Ed, being sent and living out and being on mission. So great.
Yeah. Well, I actually hear people talk sometimes about missional and, you know, with missional discipleship, and there's something different about missional discipleship. And I think missional discipleship is active discipleship. It's not just, and we're all for, I've written discipleship studies. We're all for studies, but studies that don't lead to action just make people puffed up knowledge. I mean, Gnostics in a sense, filled with knowledge, but without action. So I think ultimately we want missional discipleship, and that has to be part of leading people to serve others because of what Christ has done.
Yeah, yeah, that's such a good word, because even when we rewrote Planting Missional Churches, we decided to keep the word missional in there, even though some people were like, oh, isn't missional a different way of planting than attractional large? And then we were like, no, let's actually recapture what missional really is, you know, being on mission, being on God's mission, planting churches that are on God's mission, not particularly a specific methodology or not. So I'm glad you brought that up. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in. And if you have not yet left us a rating and review on iTunes, we would deeply appreciate that. But we will catch you next time.